Well, thank you for joining us. We are so blessed what God is doing. And we've been preaching a series for the new year called A Year of Abundance. And that was the word that God gave, clearly showing that this is going to be a year where his people can be abundant in a number of different areas. And so if you were here last week, we talked about the fact that God gives abundant wealth. And this week, we're going to go into a message titled, God Gives Abundant Health. So we're going to talk about health today. And we just know that God is a God who brings health. He's an abundant God, and he wants to pour it out on you. So let's look at Ephesians 3, verse 20. It says, now glory be to God, who by his mighty power at work within us is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. So the God we serve wants to do far more than you can even imagine, and he wants to do it through you. Did you catch that? By the power that works in us or through us, one version says. In other words, God has great things and he wants to use you. All right, so the things and the amazing plans he has aren't out there somewhere separate from you. He wants to work them through you in your life. Okay, so I want you to remember that as we go through this series. That's why we're reading this verse every time. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Jesus came to give us abundant life. Don't ever forget that. As I said last week, when you choose to serve God, it is a good life. It is an abundant life. And too often, people have the mindset of, well, I guess I'll just give up, you know, anything. I'll just have a horrible life, but at least I'll go to heaven. That's not how it is. It's not a horrible life serving Jesus. If you're having a horrible life serving Jesus, you're not doing it right. I don't think I should go too far into that because, anyways, if you're here today, I want to encourage you. God wants to bless you. God wants to overflow you. And he is an abundant God. Today, specifically, we're going to talk about the fact that our God gives abundant health. In Exodus 23 and 25, we read this. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. So God is speaking this to the children of Israel after they came out of Egypt. And he's clearly telling them, I am a God that brings health. One version says, I am the God that heals you. You see, the God we serve doesn't put sickness on people. He heals people. And if you've ever heard theology or people interpreting scripture to say that God puts sickness to teach you a lesson or punish you, that is not scripturally accurate. The God we serve doesn't do that. He's the God that heals you. He can't be the God that heals you and makes you sick at the same time. He's not confused. He's not bipolar. That just came out. I'm sorry. Random statement there. Okay? He's the God that heals. Sickness and death are actually a result of Adam's original sin. You see, in God's original creation, it was all good. Sickness and death were not a part of it. The screen that we've been using, different screens of pictures of the stars, because the abundance in God's creation of how he created just is unimaginable. And there's another picture of another place of stars. We could go all year on this series and I could find a new picture of stars online because they're eternal. It just continues. But that God who created that, he created it and he created our world and he created it perfect. And according to Genesis 1:31, after he created it all, this is what he said. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God saw everything that he'd made, and he said, it is very good. You and I know that sickness is never called very good. Not even good. Not even okay. Sickness is bad. God made a creation that was very good. Unfortunately, the creation that he made, he had just one rule for Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve chose to disobey that one rule. And they went ahead and did the one thing they were told they shouldn't do. You see, Adam and Eve were put into the Garden of Eden, and they were told to look after it. They weren't bored. They had stuff to do. Remember, we talked about it before. Work is not evil. Work is something God wants us to do. They were to work the garden. And in the center of that garden, there was one tree called the Tree of Knowledge of Good and Evil. And God said, you can eat from any tree. The only thing, don't eat from that tree. One rule. Just one. I know, for me, sometimes I'm like, well, how could they have done that? And then other days I'll be like, yeah, if I was there, I probably would have done the same thing. Human beings have a tendency, how come I'm not supposed to do that? Anybody here have teenagers or had teenagers? Like, don't do that. I wonder why mom won't want me to do that. Or dad said I couldn't do it. Well, I better find out. what is that about us? Well, Adam and Eve in the garden, and maybe you know the story. The serpent comes and tricks Eve and says, oh, God said if you eat this, you'll surely die, but you won't die. He just doesn't want you to be smart like he is. And when you eat this tree, you'll know good and evil. And the thing is, the serpent, or the devil working through the serpent, it says he's the father of all lies. He is an amazing liar. And really good liars put a lot of truth in their lies, but they just twist it enough that it's really deadly. Don't become a really good liar. But if you've ever been tricked, it's because there's a lot of truth and just enough of a slant that it gets you off and in trouble. So, hey, he's still up to his old tricks, so just be aware. But he tricked Eve. And then it said that Eve took the fruit and ate it, and then gave it to her husband Adam, who was with her. Adam was the one who was told, before Eve was actually there, Adam was told, don't eat from that tree. Here they are together at the tree. And Adam is just watching. Did he not tell her? Like, or was it one of those moments where as the husband he was like, I knew I forgot to tell her something. Husbands do that sometimes. Oh, I completely forgot about that. I don't know, but it wasn't good, and Adam was there. And Adam actually gets blamed for the original sin because it was his fault. Just letting you know. Okay, I'll go to the scripture that tells us that in a minute. But because Adam and Eve did that, a curse came upon the earth, and sickness and death entered in immediately at that time. Immediately when they disobeyed, death now was possible, and it began. They began to die slowly. Genesis 2, verse 15. I'm just going to read first that verse so you know where it is where he said, don't do it. The Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord commanded the man, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you eat from it, you will surely die. But of course, they disobeyed. Adam didn't pass on the message. Whatever happened. Romans 5:12. Adam sinned, and that sin brought death into the world. I'm just going to stop right there for a minute. Adam sinned. It doesn't even mention Eve. Adam sinned. Do you know when you know the truth, and you choose not to let those that God's put you over know the truth, it's sin. Did you know that? Parent, if you've been put over something, you choose to just leave out the truth because it's hard, that's actually sin on your part. Now, the actual sin is that he disobeyed, but I want you to see this. Adam is blamed, and Adam is the one who ultimately sinned. Yes, they both did. But I want you to understand, when God puts you over something, you can't be afraid to tell the truth. Adam sinned, and that sin brought death into the world. Now, everyone has sinned, and so everyone must die. Verse 13, sin was in the world before the law came, but no record of sin was kept because there was no law. Yet death still had power over all who lived from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. This happened, though not everyone disobeyed a direct command from God as Adam did. Okay. All he's saying here very clearly to us all is, hey, sin that happened in the beginning brought death into the world. And we all know that sickness is the beginning of death. Any sickness that is not cured ends in death. So this was the beginning, and he's just helping the Jewish people there understand that the Ten Commandments weren't even given yet. And so before that time, the breaking of the law, well, there was no law to break. But that original sin brought death upon all people. So that's what he's explaining there for people to understand. Now, I have some good news. That's where it all began. That's where sin and sickness come from. Sickness and death come from that. Jesus paid the price for us to be restored to complete health. This is the good news. Jesus paid the price for you and I to be restored to complete health. It isn't just a matter of if I pray hard enough or, you know, if I rolled the dice right. No, Jesus paid for your health just like he paid for you to be forgiven and saved. Okay, everybody understand that. I'm going to give you scripture so you see. Isaiah 53:5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. By his stripes, we are healed. The beating he took, his body broken, was the price for our healing. In other words, it's paid for just like he paid by shedding his blood for you and I to be forgiven and made right with the Father. It's paid for. It's not a matter of chance or hope or if I get the right person to pray for me or, you know, maybe I fly far enough to a special meeting. It's paid for. If I told the ladies here today, someone paid for you to get 3 pairs of shoes, whatever store you like, 3 pairs of shoes. What's a good shoe store? I don't even know. Ladies, help me. Louis Vuitton. Oh, yeah, come on. Okay, I've heard that name. How much does a pair of shoes cost, Louis Vuitton shoes? $1,500 for a pair of Louis Vuitton shoes. Wow. Okay, so that's a great one. So, ladies, if I told you someone paid for 3 pairs of Louis Vuitton shoes, they are paid for, you just need to get them. Would you figure out how to get it? Would you figure out where to go? They're like, yeah. Okay, so for the guys, we got to get the guys now. Let's see, for the guys here, if I told you someone already paid for you at, Home Depot, and there was an entire garage package already paid for, tools, everything needed for it, would you find a way to get it? You'd go get it even if you thought maybe I wasn't telling the truth, wouldn't you? You'd go check. You'd drive down there and say, yeah, this guy said, I think he usually tells the truth, you know, like it's paid for, right? You would. Well, guess what? Healing is also paid for, but you do need to receive it. Okay, so we're going to get to that. Too often, people say, well, okay, great, it's paid for. How come I don't see it? Everything that God has provided and paid for must be received because he doesn't force it on people. He doesn't dump it on anybody who hasn't said yes, please. Super important. Healing is just like that. And frankly, healing is better than Louis Vuitton shoes. Healing is better than tools. Just, but it is better than tools. And healing is paid for by Jesus. He paid for it with a huge price. And he said, this is for you. You know, we do communion once a month here, where we take the bread and we take the juice. And we read that often in 1 Corinthians 11:23. Here's where we read. I'll read it again. It says, I've received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then we also, you know, we break the bread, we eat it. And then we take the juice. And we go about how he said, this will be my blood shed for you, and we drink the juice. Did you notice to that there is two parts? Bread that's broken, juice that Jesus said would be his blood shed. Body broken, blood shed, two parts. One is for your forgiveness, one is for your health. You know, when Jesus did that first communion, or some people call it the Last Supper, when that took place was at Passover. Passover was a Jewish festival, if you will, a Jewish celebration where they celebrated when God's people came out of Egypt. When God's people came out of Egypt, they had to do something called Passover. The very first Passover was actually quite a horrible night for a lot of other people, because the final plague was coming on Egypt. All of Israel were slaves, but they were about to be set free. But Pharaoh would not let them go, and the final plague was a plague of death on every firstborn in the land. And you must understand something. Every firstborn, even of the Israelites, would have died in that plague unless they did the Passover. And the Passover, they were told to take a lamb, to roast it, to bring it in the house, and they needed to eat that lamb. The blood from that lamb was told to be put on the doorposts. Now Jesus, thousands of years later, is celebrating Passover. There is no word that they had any lamb there. But he is very clearly telling them something. I am going to be the final Passover lamb. My body will be broken. My blood will be shed. Two parts on that original Passover. And two parts where they couldn't just have a lamb and say, I got a lamb. They had to take the blood and put it on the doorpost. They had to eat the lamb. You see, his healing and his forgiveness both have to be received. It's not enough to know about them. It's not enough to say, well, if God wants to, he will. He already wants to, and he already did what was necessary for you to have it. But you must receive it. You must consume or eat it, if that's a picture that helps you. If your wife or your mom or whoever's the cook in your house, if they made your favorite meal and put it out on the table, would you not sit down and eat it? Or would you be like, well, if they really want me to have it, they'll spoon feed me, or I don't know. Like, what are we thinking when we treat God that way? Well, if they really wanted me to have it, then obviously they'd. Really? Only really little babies get spoon fed. But mature believers understand, oh, he's laid it out. He prepares a banqueting table, it says in Scripture. A banqueting table. But did you know people have to go to the banquet? People have to get to the banquet. Jesus actually shared a story. He said there's a wedding, and there was a wedding feast, and the table was laid out. And they sent out the invitations, and people chose not to come. It was prepared for them, but because they chose not to walk over there and go, they didn't get it. So what about you? What has God prepared for you that you simply need to step into? And specifically today, do you need healing? It's already prepared. The scripture that we read almost every weekend about Jesus bringing salvation, John 3:16 and 17. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The word saved, and I say this often, let me say it again. The word saved means to be made whole, mind, body, soul, and spirit. We treat saved like, well, I said a little prayer. No, saved means he wants to make you completely whole. Not just your spirit, also your mind and your body. That's pretty awesome. That's why Jesus came. And healing is a part of it. Now, who is healing for? Healing is for anyone who believes according to Scripture. I want to read a story to you from Scripture. I'll kind of talk about it, read it a little bit. And also, a little bit later in the message here, I'm going to ask my wife to come up and share a bit of a testimony that fits this message. But in Scripture, we read a story about a woman whose daughter was possessed. And the woman was not a Jew. She would be called a Gentile in those days. And Jesus' original first thing he was called to do was go to the Jews or the Israelites, not the Gentiles at that point. Of course, we know later he told his followers, go to the Gentiles, go to everybody, go to the world. But initially, that's where he went. And as he was going, this woman comes up behind them and begins to call out to him, help my daughter. Let's read it. Matthew 15:22. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely. But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. Tell her to go away, they said. She's bothering us with all her begging. Then Jesus said to the woman, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. That was his initial first phase. But Jesus gave her no reply. Oh, sorry, got that. Then Jesus said to the woman, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. Then the woman says, but she came and worshipped him, pleading again, Lord, help me. And Jesus responded, it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. Or another verse says, it isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. When I read that, I'm like, what? Jesus actually said that? Did he just call her a dog? Something's going on here. And Jesus, I believe because God the Father showed him all things, he knew what was going to be the end result. And I believe part of this was seeing where her faith was, and part of it was seeing where his followers' faith was. And so Jesus knew what was going to happen, but he was saying, do you really want this? Because right now, it's not even for you yet. And all of the Jews, they consider you a dog. All these followers with me, they haven't yet even got it. They consider you unclean, and they won't even eat with you. He's making this really clear. They're all watching. And he is saying, do you really want it? And she replies, that's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table. Dear woman, Jesus said to her, your faith is great. Your request is granted. And her daughter was instantly healed. I'm telling you something, church. Do you really know that it's for you? Do you know that it's for you even if other people say it's not? Do you know that healing is yours? Now, there's two things I want you to understand here. In this verse, Jesus made it clear that healing is the children's bread. If you're one of his, healing is your bread. What did that mean in his context? They ate bread two or three times a day. It was just normal food. Healing should be normal to us. Walking in health should be daily. Did you know if you're walking in health, you don't need a miracle? If you're needing a miracle, it's because sickness has hit you and there is, you know, trouble on the way. But you know, the greatest miracle is just to walk in health. God wants you to know it's daily yours. But I have good news. If you need a miracle today, you can receive a miracle of healing today. Because God still heals. This woman said, I know you have the power, and I know it's for me, and I'm not leaving until I get it. What about you? Do you really want it? Or are you just leaving it up to chance? Well, maybe. Maybe it'll just come from the sky and hit me while I'm walking. There's no miracle stories like that, by the way. You can read through your Bible. That's not how people received. I'm trying to challenge you a little bit. I'm trying to get people to step in and step up to what God wants. So this is how you receive healing. You receive healing First of all, you need to believe. We read this story the other day. I'm not going to go into detail, but let's just read this part again. Mark 9:22. The Spirit often throws him into the fire or into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. This was a father whose boy was also possessed and was getting thrown in the fire. And he says, help us, Jesus, if you can. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. You see, it's not a matter if Jesus can or even if he wants to. It's already done. It's a matter, do you believe it was done for you for this time right now? You see, I've met many people, they believe God does heal. That's great. Do you believe he wants to heal you? Oh, I believe he wants to heal me whenever it's his time. Whoa. Whenever it's his time is an out for faith. Or if it's his will, well, it is his will. He wouldn't have had his son beaten and killed if it wasn't his will. His body would not have been broken if it wasn't his will. So you don't have to add that to your prayer. You know, you're not, when we pray things like, oh, God, just heal me if it's your will or if it's your time, are we like trying to give an out for God because he might fail? He doesn't need us to give him an out. Or are we trying to give ourselves an out? Because, you know, it might look bad if we don't get what we prayed. I'm just throwing some stuff out there because the scripture where the person said, if it's your will, was somebody who didn't know it was God's will yet, and they're asking Jesus. And Jesus really clearly said, I will. It's my will for you to be healed. So yes, he wills. Do you believe it's for you? Do you believe it's for now? That's true believing. I believe he wants me healed now. And because I believe it, I'm going to receive it and I'm going to step out in it. You see, that's the key to receiving healing. Also, healing can come from having others pray with you and lay hands on you. That's a scripture that I'll read right now, James 5:14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. So prayer for healing, yes. Come and let others who have faith believe with you, put their hands on you, and let them declare healing over you. I don't have time to get into everything there is with healing, but I can tell you this, you don't beg God for healing. It's not a matter of how many words you say or how long you fast. It is a matter of believing and receiving. Okay. One more thing I'm going to say. I'm going to read this verse, and then I'm going to ask my wife to come and share a testimony. So, dear, if you want to get that microphone and get ready. We believe, we get others to believe with us, and another way that many people walk in healing and receive healing is that they have faith in God to speak to the mountain. Let me read the verse, and we'll explain more in a bit. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Jesus was walking with the disciples, and he had said to a fig tree that had no figs, you know, you're never going to have figs again, he said to the tree. When they were walking back, the tree was already dead. And they were like, what? You just said that and it happens? And Jesus said to him, don't you guys understand? If you have faith in God, you can say to a mountain, be removed, and it will be removed and thrown in the sea. He was telling them, if you know the God you serve and you are hearing him and following him, you have that kind of authority through him because of what he did. And I believe if God's people could understand this, we will be walking in healing ourselves and bringing healing to our friends. I'm not going to say more at this point. I'm going to ask my wife to share her story in this area and something God showed her. Come to her right now and share with us. You can give her a hand, make her feel comfortable.
Yeah, so Dan had asked me to share this, and it was something that happened over 5 years ago. I had gotten to a place in my life where I thought, I want to know the formula on healing. And we were at a family camp, and I prayed, and I told the Lord, I said, I want to know the formula on healing. And those were the words that I had exactly had said to him. And that night I went to bed, I had this dream. And in the dream, I was standing out in the country, and it was night, and I was looking up at the stars, and I could see the stars there. And then I heard the Lord say to me, he said, you want to know me. And it was like he took me up into the galaxy, and when I was there and I looked all around, I knew in my spirit what I was looking at was the stars that even the telescope here on Earth could not have seen this yet. And so I looked to the right and to the left, up and down, behind, front, and I could see eternity. There was no end. It just kept going, and I knew there was no end. And then the Lord said to me, to know me is to know my love. And he said, and this is my love. And I knew right away then he was showing me that there's no end to my love. And when I woke up, he gave me a scripture as soon as I woke up, and I went and grabbed my Bible and started reading it, and it was in Ephesians. I'll read it. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heavens and the earth is named, and he would grant you according to the riches of his glory be strength with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, and that ye be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, that is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with the fullness of God, knowing him that is able to do exceedingly above all that we even think or ask according to the power that works in us. And that was the verse that he gave me. I thought, okay, this is great. That I need to now know about the healing because he's already given me something. So I started searching, and I was so excited, and I was just reading and reading and taking notes and all the stuff. But then I even went on YouTube listening to other people of their testimonies on healing and talking with people. But I was just really so hungry, and I was just searching. And at one point when I was on YouTube, I came across this one lady, and she was talking about this miracle and a book she had. And I thought, I'd like to get this book. So I went on her page, ordered the book, and it said it couldn't send it to me because it was from Australia. But I looked in her list of other books that she had, and I saw this other one. I thought, oh, I'd like this one, so I put it in my cart. And as I was logging off, it asked me, like, are you sure you want to order this? And I was like, yeah, I'll try. Maybe I can get it. And it only sent one book. But I continued reading, and I was just really getting into it, and I thought, I think I'm getting this. I think I'm starting to understand this. And then the book came, and it came in pretty fast. And so I just read the first chapter. I was like, I got it. I get it. And the one verse that stood out to me when I was searching was, I think it's found in Mark, but it's the one that Dan had just read. And it starts out first saying, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe on these things that you say, you will have. And it was that really I understood when he was saying, have faith in God. It was having faith in the God. And also the one where he says about, we can say to this mountain, it doesn't matter what kind of sickness it is, it's a mountain. And we can say to it to be removed. But if we believe in our heart that we're saying this, we'll have it. And it was then that I understood the first scripture that he gave me was, the answer was all right there. And where he talks about his love, it's so wide. There's no end to it. It just keeps going. There's no end. And his love is that much. And if we could understand he loves us that much, when he sent his son to die on the cross for our sickness and for our salvation, just having that little bit of faith saying, yes, I accept Christ, is the same faith that you can have and say to this mountain, be removed. And if you believe in your heart, knowing that who God is, because you already know how much he loves us, he wants to do it. And it says he wants to do far more than we can even think, but it's the work in us. So we can say all these scriptures and realize, you know, I can throw all these scriptures, but if I don't believe who this God is and what he's already done, I can't accept that faith. I can't accept that healing because my faith isn't there. But I had to get to that place where I understood he loves me this much. This is who my God is. And I was so excited, and usually when I get excited, I'll do this little squeal. And so I ran to the bathroom, and I just was so excited, and I quoted that scripture. And I said, and at the time, I needed a healing in my life. And my healing that I needed was going on for 18 years. And I think Dan mentioned, but it's in the Bible where that woman with the issue of blood, hers was 12 years, mine was 18 years. And I had gotten to a place where they had given me pills, I had to be on these pills, and they said, well, keep trying, see if you can come off. I couldn't. And then I got to a place where after, I don't know, I was at 18 years of doing this, and I got so discouraged, and I thought, I don't want this anymore. And I already had Anita by then. We had adopted three more, and I thought, I want to have one of my own. And so I thought, you know what? I'm done. I'm just so done with this. And I just got off the pills, and yep, it started, and I thought, you know what? I don't care. And I was at 3 weeks and was starting to get weak, and just I couldn't do anything. Dan took me to the hospital, and they gave me iron infusion right away because they said my iron was so low. They were like, extremely low. We don't even know how she's even functioning. And so they told me, you have to stay on these pills. You can't get off of them. So I went back home, and after a few months, I thought, you know what? I am so done. I'm just done. And I was at the point where I thought done was, I don't care about life. If I die, I'm done. And so I quit. And a whole month went, and I passed out. Dan couldn't wake me up and ended up rushing me to the hospital. And they right away grabbed the blood, just pumped me in cold. And it took a long time, but when I finally woke up and they got upset at Dan and my mom and said, you know what, you guys have to make sure she stays on these pills. The next time she does this, we're sending her off to a psychiatrist. And I was that low, and I knew what they were saying. I thought, you know what, I don't care. And that's when I had got home and I said, I really need this formula. I want to know it, but not for myself, but for others. Because there's a lot of people I know that have all kinds of sickness and need healing. I thought, I need to know, but I want others to know it. And that's when this all happened for me, and I was so excited that day, and I said the scripture, I quoted to myself. And the second day, I came back again, I quote that scripture. The third day when I came in, I quoted that scripture. It was like inside I felt something in my body. The only way I could explain it is like something just lined up. And I knew right then I was healed. And I ran to my room, pulled out those pills, dumped them out. And when Dan came home, I told him, I said, I'm healed. I don't need those pills anymore. So he kept an eye on me. And sure enough, that month, it came in regular. It just stopped on its own, where usually it wouldn't stop. I had to go to the doctors. They give me these other pills. And then again, the second month, it was normal. Again, the third month. And that's when Dan was like, you are healed. Because I was healed. And I was so excited, and I just kept reading in the scriptures. You know, it's like, I just, so much of this love, I just need to get more. And I just kept reading and reading. And it was like a whole year later, I was thinking, why stop there? I've always wanted another child. Why stop here? And I thought, you know what? I am healed. I know because I'm healed, well, I can ask for a child. And so I said, Lord, I'm praying, I'm pregnant. And I knew right then I was, because to me was, I had stayed in this word and knew who God was, and I stayed there, and I continued staying there. I thought, you know what? He's that good. I can ask him. He's going to give it to me because I asked him. And I knew that he's already provided for it when Jesus died on that cross, like Dan was saying, for our salvation, but for our healing. And I knew right then, it's already been paid for. It's mine. I can just take it. And so I said it. I said, that's why I'm pregnant. And then, so Dan and I, was our anniversary, and Dan got a room. And we were there, and Dan realized, like, you know, I've noticed, like, you hadn't had your period. And I said, well, yeah, because I'm pregnant. And he's like, you are? Yeah. And he's like, did you do a test? No, I just know I'm pregnant. So for him, I was like, I don't know, let's get a test. I was like, sure, if you want to find out, go ahead. So we did the test, and yes, I was pregnant. And that is Evangeline. She's 4 now. She'll be 5 in a couple months.
Thank you. Thank you, dear. Yeah, we serve a God who can heal. And that verse that we read right before she shared, how it says, if you believe the things you say come to pass, they come to pass. Why would you believe the things you say come to pass? Because the God you love working through you asks you to speak it. Okay, so it's amazing what he can and wants to do through each of us. But I'm going to wrap up here this morning. And I want to say this. I love giving messages on healing, and we're going to pray for the congregation for healing today. But I need to say this. The greatest gift of all, of course, is for you and I that we can have an eternal home in heaven with him, that our sins can be forgiven, that we can be made new. And Jesus paid that price for us. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And we can read that in Revelation 21:4 about the place. What does it kind of look like? It says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, nor crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. You see, the place that he's creating for us, that he's making for us, is perfect, and there's no sickness, there's no death. Just like his original creation, no sickness, no death in heaven. Revelation 22:1 says this, the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down to the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. See, sickness was part of the curse, sickness leading to death. But Jesus, the God we serve, is a God who is not afraid of death, is a God who will see people healed completely. And today I want to say this, if you're here today and you've not yet prayed to ask Christ to forgive you and come into your heart, to make sure that your eternal home is with him in that amazing place, you receive it. And you receive it by believing it and using words. He said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you're saved. And so we want to take a moment here this morning, like we do every service, to give you opportunity to use words in case you haven't yet. I'm going to ask the others with us to go ahead and pray along. We're going to say this simple prayer. Just repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me, and I ask you now, forgive me of my sin. Make me new. I am yours, and I choose to follow you. Amen. Give God praise for that this morning. That is good.